Just a Minute is one of the BBC's longest-running panel games, and for some 35 years, Peter Jones was a popular member of the team. He died last month at the age of 79, and as a tribute, we're now broadcasting one of the last recordings he made.
Welcome to Just a Minute! Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world to the show, but also to welcome the four diverse, dynamic, and scintillating personalities who this week have gathered together to play Just a Minute. We welcome back one of our regular players of the game whose contribution we value so much, and that is Paul Merton. We welcome someone who hasn't played the game quite so often, but we welcome his contribution, which has always been so absolutely outstanding, and that is Stephen Fry. We welcome back one of the longest-standing players of the game, and that is Peter Jones. And we welcome someone bringing up the distaff side with her wonderful feminine humorous charm, and that is Maria McCurlane. Would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who is going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House, quite near the centre of that great metropolis of London, where a lot of people have escaped from the crush to come in here and egg us on our way with a great enthusiasm. I'm confident of that. Let's begin the show. Stephen Fry, will you take the first subject? It is laying it on with a trowel. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
What do I know of that subject compared to our chairman, Nicholas Parsons? Dynamic, diverse, scintillating talents, the warm feminine humour on the distaff side, the teeming metropolis and egging us on. That's laying it on with a trowel. I believe the phrase, unless I'm much mistaken, comes from Either As You Like It or Twelfth Night. It's certainly Shakespearean. I think it may be Touchstone or Feste who first described this euphuistic trope, I suppose one would call it, a hyperbolic mechanism of speech.
And Paul Merton has challenged
I'm you. Not sure. He might be making up words. I don't know.
So, that euphemistic, I don't think it was
No,
quite
I didn't
euphemistic.
Say euphemistic, I said euphuistic.
I know you did, yes, which yes. isn't, it's a made-up word.
No, it isn't, no.
Is it?
No, it's a 16th century word, it describes the writings of writers like Lodge.
As it was an incorrect challenge, Stephen gets a point for an incorrect challenge, keeps the subject, and there are 33 seconds available, laying it on with a trowel, Stephen, starting now.
The Right Honourable Sir Winston Leonard Spencer Churchill, MP, Prime Minister of our country for many years, of course, laid it on with the trowel both in the figurative and the literal senses because he was a bricklayer amongst his many other accomplishments, for instance, kicking German butt. Yes.
Amongst his many other accompaniments?
He did.
Oh, did I?
Yes, you did say accompaniments.
Well, I'm a fool and I must be punished.
Paul has a correct challenge. He has 19 seconds. Laying it on with a trowel, Paul, starting now.
It's probably the best way to build a brick wall in the end is to get hold of a load of mortar, put it onto a trowel, place the particular substance I mentioned earlier onto a brick, then...
And Stephen, you challenge.
There's a couple of bricks.
Yeah, there are two bricks. You dropped a brick there. Stephen's got him with a correct challenge for this and got the subject back and 7 seconds available. Laying it on with the trowel, Stephen, starting now.
I once laid it on with a towel, which is not nearly as recommendable as laying it on with a trowel.
Oh, Paul's challenge.
Deviation.
What? Yes.
Well, no, the subject's laying it on with a trowel, and he's all about laying it on with a towel, which
I
is
know.
A completely different thing altogether.
I know.
More exciting,
it's
but
more exciting,
thing.
I know. Right now, it's 2 seconds. Paul, you have another point for a quick challenge. 2 seconds available. Laying it on with a trowel, starting now.
I want you to picture the scene. First of all, you must...
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion it was Paul Merton. At the end of that round, you won't be surprised to discover that both Stephen Fry and Paul Merton are equal together in the lead because the other two haven't spoken yet. Peter Jones, will you take the next round? A lovely subject, cults. Would you tell us something about cults in just a minute, starting now?
Well, they usually have kind of some religious origin, and they've split off from the mainstream. And I know that Kenneth Williams, God bless him, he used to use this word quite often, mostly in the singular. And he once described me as one of them. Well, I didn't... I didn't mind, because he called me many things during the many years that he was with us, and what a joyful man he was. And I don't see much more.
Paul Merton has challenged you.
Yes. Possible hesitation.
I think you're possibly correct, Paul. Yes. And yes.
Sorry.
Paul, a correct challenge. So you have the subject of cults. You have 19 seconds, starting now.
As Peter says, it was one of Kenneth Williams' catchphrases on this very programme. He used to say, "I'm one of the biggest cults around here. You won't find a bigger one than me." And that was one thing that he used to say all the time. And I used to love listening to
Stephen. You've done it.
That's two used to says.
Used to say, used to see. Really? Yes, indeed. So, Stephen, listening well, gained another point for a correct challenge.
Oh,
there's nine seconds to tell us something about cults starting now.
Moonies have always struck me as a pretty desperate cult, but the one that most irritates me are those Dianetic people following L. Ron Hubbard. I think they call themselves Scientologists.
Maria McCurlin, you've challenged.
It was a challenge because I thought there was only about 3 seconds left, and he did a hesitation. He hesitated.
Absolutely right.
He already admitted it, but it was a hesitation. But I wouldn't do it just because of 3 seconds. But
well, I was hoping to get the point, and you know how competitive I am.
Well, you've got the point. You always have the point, Maria.
Do I?
To have you on the show, yes. It's a very pointed challenge, and you have the cults, and you have 3 seconds available starting now. And Paul Merton's challenge.
I thought I challenged because there was only 2 seconds left.
Well, I think that's a very generous challenge because it was incorrect. And so Maria now has another point, and she has actually 2.5 seconds on cults starting now.
Paul Merton is a right cult, thank you.
Maria McCurlain was speaking as the whistle went then, gained that extra point for doing so, and she is now in second place behind our joint leaders, Paul Merton and Stephen Fry, and Peter Jones is pulling up the rear there. And Maria, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is knowing when to stop. Tell us something about that, Maria, in just a minute, starting now.
Knowing when to stop is very important, for instance, if you are driving a car or eating in a self-service restaurant. One of which could, of course, end up in an accident, the other in obesity and possibly death. Knowing when to stop breathing is very important not to do, or indeed...
Stephen Challenge.
That's two very importants there.
It is very important, yes.
And very important person, Stephen.
42 seconds available. Knowing when to stop, Stephen, starting now.
I believe I know that I should stop in 42 seconds, though I don't know quite how to fulfill the great yawning gap of time between then and now. I suppose I should point out that I've never really known when to stop. I've always been a rather excessive child. It's been my downfall.
Peter Jones has challenged.
My suggestion is you stop.
What is the challenge within just a minute? You've got a good one, Peter, or not?
Well, I he was getting a bit... he seemed to have a... He had a kind of death wish about it all.
You have 30 seconds on telling us something about knowing when to stop, starting now.
I think it's the business of a bus driver to know when to stop. And there are signs all along our city streets showing him where it can be. And if you are a request customer, you hold your hand out into the middle of the road if you can, and he should stop. He usually does a few yards ahead of where it should be, or even some distance behind. And I get a bit better.
Paul Merton Jallis.
This is all very controversial stuff. Are we allowed to broadcast this kind of...
But can you have a challenge within the rules of just a minute, Paul?
No, not really.
Peter, an incorrect challenge. And Peter, you have 3 seconds more to go on, having gained a point, to tell us something, knowing when to stop.
If you're driving a bulldozer, that's what I'm saying.
Maria, you challenge.
2 drivings. We had driving a bus.
You were having driving a bus.
And also only 2 seconds left.
Yes, he did say driving before. Maria, you have 1.5 seconds on knowing when to stop, starting now. And Paul, Paul challenged before the whistle. Yes, Paul.
Hesitation.
Breath.
Hesitation.
Lost her. He's obviously enamoured of you because he's sitting beside you, Maria, and he wants you to have another point. And you've got it because you did not hesitate. And you've now got 3/4 of a second on knowing when to stop starting now.
Paul Merton is a cult.
So Maria McCurley, with the help of Paul Merton, kept going for the whistle when to gain that extra point, and she's now in the lead at the end of that round. Paul, will you take the next round? The subject, agony aunts. Tell us something about those creatures, those ladies, those women, in just a minute, starting now.
I'll never forget the day my Aunt Nellie fell off the greenhouse. She broke her leg and she was in agony. She was rushed to the hospital and they said, there's nothing we can do, she's going to have it taken off. And so, indeed, the surgeon sawed her particular limb off from... I've said off about 4 times.
I have it from the best authority that he said off about 4 times.
That's right. So, Stephen, you have got the subject of agony aunts in 45 seconds, starting now.
When I was at school, I used to write letters with friends to agony aunts newspapers, pretending to be a divorcee or a sex-change mother or something like that, to see what...
Paul Merton Chalmers.
So you're disturbed of Tunbridge Wells.
You've got it. I'm also hairy in surprising places of Ashby de la Zouche.
Right, so we don't call his points on that, but we did enjoy the fun. 36 seconds. Still with you, Stephen. Agony aunt, starting now.
Irma Kurtz, Claire Rayner, somebody called...
challenge.
Hesitation.
No, that's her name. Her name is...
Does she get many letters?
Swedish. It's the pause of an accident.
30 seconds available now on agony aunts, Paul, starting now.
People say that you have agony aunts now in magazines because we have lost the extended family. If you were perhaps a distraught teenager, you could speak perhaps not to your parents, but to an aunt.
Yes.
Oh, there were two perhapses.
There were two perhapses, I'm afraid, Paul. So, yes. First, back with you, Stephen. Agony aunts, 19 seconds, starting now.
I suppose I should take up the cudgel of this extended family point. It is true that perhaps the function was performed before by priests, doctors, learned people of the village, and so on, and now it's distanced. Distance advice, isn't it? I said distance twice. It was a pretty naked repetition, wasn't it? That's shameful.
There's a big echo in this room.
There's 7 seconds for you, Paul, on agony aunt, starting now.
Dear Claire Rayner, I am having unnatural relationships with a goat at the end of my garden. What do you...
So at the end of that round, Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's equal with Mira McCurlin, who's in second place, 1 point behind Stephen Fry. Peter Jones is bringing up the rear, and Stephen, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is now body language. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
My bottom speaks fluent German. Sorry, did somebody challenge?
Oh, I'm sorry. Paul, you challenge.
Don't tell me, I heard it clear in its throat earlier.
Yes, it was a very guttural sound, you're quite right. Yes. So, what about, what is your, any challenge within just a minute or
no? No, that was it. Human decency. Does that count for nothing these days?
No, actually, we won't allow it, Paul, but because Stephen was riding one of the biggest laughs we've had in just a minute, and deservedly so, because the image it conjured up was absolutely bizarre and delightful, and...
I never knew you cared.
I say that the image of Stephen's bottom speaking German is necessarily delightful.
Body language is still with you, and we're waiting with great anticipation for the next comment. 52 seconds still available, Stephen, starting now.
Well, they say, don't they, that if you lie, you tend to touch your nose, and there are other corporal indications of untruth and certain mendacities and indeed attitudes, positions and so forth that the body can give away simply by gesture and performance in different manifestations. For example, you might cross your legs when sexually excited, but that's probably more functional than in semiotic. I don't know. And there are various... I said various again, I'm sorry.
Stephen, you've actually challenged yourself.
No, I really, repetition.
What was your challenge?
I said various twice.
Well, that's a correct challenge, isn't it? So within the rules of just a minute, I suppose I'd say yes, a correct challenge, Stephen. Well listened. You get a point for a great challenge. You keep the subject. 29 seconds are available on body language starting now.
29 seconds, he said, his arms stretching to either side of him to indicate disbelief at such a vast expanse of temporal habitude. I don't know. That makes no sense whatsoever. Oh, God, somebody interrupt me because I don't know what's going on.
Yes, Paul.
A mercy day.
A mercy day.
Bless you, Paul.
Right, we interpret that as hesitation. Paul, you've got body language. You have 17 seconds, starting now.
There is a man called Bobby McFerrin who does various cabaret acts. He hits his body with his hands and sings at the same time, and it's like a curious acoustic that he manages to get from his chest cavity, and it's the most amazing performance. When you listen to it on CD...
Maria McKernan, challenge.
No, I didn't.
Oh, sorry, Peter Jones. Peter Jones, I'm sorry, your light came on. I was looking at Maria, it was rather difficult, you see, so I automatically assumed it was her light. It wasn't, it was yours, Peter. What was your challenge?
Repetitive amazing.
It was amazing, yes, indeed.
Was it really?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And Peter, you've got in with 1 second
Whoa.
To go. Well, listen, on body language, starting now.
Well, I can't make any sound.
So Pete Jones was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's still in fourth place, but he's moving forward. And Maria, it's your turn to begin, and the subject now is playing it by ear. 60 seconds as usual, playing it by ear, starting now.
Playing it by ear is not something Vincent van Gogh was really able to do, or indeed Ludwig van Beethoven, or...
Stephen Frank.
Two vans. Mm.
Two vans.
Like Pickford's round there.
52 seconds with you, Stephen. Another point as well. Playing it by ear, starting now.
I can't play much by ear. I can pick out a little bit of the national anthem, the Marseillaise, or, of course, the prelude in F sharp minor on the piano by ear, but not much more.
Peter Jones has challenged.
There was a definite er in the middle of that sentence.
I know. It was such a... Such
no,
a
I was saying ear. it's on the card, yeah.
No, there was an ear in between.
No, it was ear. I took a Welsh accent, playing it by ear.
Well struggled, Stephen, but no, I think
you
I
can... Welsh.
Yes, that's true. Yes. Well,
I'm going to give you, Peter, the benefit of the doubt and say, yes, there was a hesitation. 35 seconds for you, Peter, on playing it by ear, starting now.
Well, I can't play it by ear because I'm actually tone deaf, which is one of the many disadvantages I have as a performer. The other is not being able to see very well and not being able to read a script without hesitation. And apart from the fact that I have some questionable relatives, I don't think I am really qualified to be in this business at all. And it's something of a miracle that I've managed to survive for so long. I mean, it's not all that long.
So in spite of his hesitations, Peter Jones kept going to the whistle when gained that extra point for doing so, and he has leapt forward, but he's still in fourth place. But, but he's only just behind Maria McCurlane, who is only just behind Paul Merton, who's 1 point behind Stephen Fry, our leader. And Paul, your turn to begin. The subject is the best excuse, starting now.
I used to go to school with a boy called Stephen Pendry, who was habitually late every day, and he would come into the classroom and tell the teacher a whole catalogue of different excuses. I remember once he said, "I'm sorry I wasn't here for the beginning of the lesson, but I caught my foot in a drain." On another occasion, he claimed there'd been an explosion.
Peter, you challenged.
The repetition of occasion.
Yes.
Was it?
So, Peter, well, listen, 38 seconds are available for you to tell us something about the best excuse, starting now.
It's always difficult to find an excuse if there's some event which you don't want to attend and would prefer to stay at home. And the best of all these excuses is to die. Nobody can really argue with that. You know, you just will not be there because you've gone to some better place, which in many cases would be true, particularly if it's an occasion which you don't want to be.
Peter Jones was then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point for doing so, and it's your turn to begin. And the subject is filleting fish. Talk on the subject if you can, Peter. 60 seconds starting now.
It's very important to fillet the fish if you want filleted fish.
because they're apt to get...
Maria McKernan challenge.
Oh, he said something funny, like, filleted.
Well, he was trying to emphasise the fact that the subject is filleting fish, and he, in this same, doesn't repeat that word, he repeated filleted. Peter, an incorrect challenge. 53 seconds available on filleting fish starting now.
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh, thank you.
And Paul, your challenge.
Hesitation.
No, he didn't hesitate. He actually said me. He didn't hesitate. There was no gap there. He said straight into me. I nodded. He was about to go.
Don't
and you
get
jumped.
Yourself into a lather about it. Incorrect challenge, Peter. You have the point.
But you don't realise, Stephen, you don't play it as much as some of the regulars. They get passionate about getting their points. Peter, you are still filleting fish, and 51 seconds are still available to you starting now.
If you successfully get all the bones out of it, then you can make fish fingers, or even kipper fillets, which are an inferior type of smoked fish. But what else?
Oh, Stephen, you challenged.
There was a bit of erring going on there.
I think there was, Stephen. Yes, you have 38 seconds. You tell us something about filleting fish starting now.
I suppose smelly fingers are an occupational hazard to the fish filleting. Nothing much you can do about that. You can wear gloves, no doubt. Filleting fish is quite an art. I've tried to do it myself. Not easy. You go to a restaurant, you ask for something off the bone, and you watch them pulling off the spine and the soul or something.
Paul Merton challenge.
Very harsh. Two offs, but in quick succession.
Offs. You tell us something about filleting fish. There are 23 seconds available, Paul, starting now.
Well, I don't really enjoy filleting fish because I think it's cruel.
And Maria McCurlane challenged.
Well, he just sort of stopped.
Yes, hesitation.
That's all I had to say on the subject.
And you were the first in there, Maria, so you have the subject of filleting fish in 16 seconds starting now.
A few years ago, I was working for Buckingham Palace in the kitchens, and I was filleting fish and didn't do a very good job because the Queen Mother choked on something that I apparently had left in, and I was fired immediately and had to take up a career in show business, which I'm very...
Paul Merton challenge.
Did you say a career in show business?
How cruel can you get?
Deviation. No, deviation. You have never worked at Buckingham.
No. That is actually a very generous challenge because it's incorrect. Because it shows that Maria, I believe, is in show business.
No, I'd say she's never worked at Buckingham Palace. Not that she's in show business.
In my own little head, I've worked in...
Oh, well, in your own little head. How are we going to play this game then if in our own little head is allowed?
I think you said something first before that.
No.
Didn't you? All right. It was only half a second. Who do I give it to, Maria or
give
Paul?
Give it to Maria.
Right, Maria. You've got
I
half
don't
a
want
second.
It.
Well, I'll have it.
Paul, half a second. Filleting fish starting now.
Kippers are wonderful.
So it's pretty even now. In fact, only one point separates all four of them.
It's Nip and Tuck.
Nip and Tuck, yes. And Even Stevens, whatever you... Not
Bobby
quite Even Stevens yet. So it's still anybody's game for those interested in the points. Well, the humour, I think, is more valuable. And there are 60 seconds once again.
You're rarer.
And... Not when you're around, Stephen, I can assure you. Lifting the lid is the subject. Paul Merton, it's your turn to begin, and you start now.
Pandora's box was a bit of a mistake, wasn't it, when somebody peeped inside it and let all the evil out into the world? I once had a marvellous jam jar at home that was full of frog spawn, and I wanted to look in the lid, and I don't know why I particularly wanted to lift the lid up.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of wanted.
That's right.
You're not confident, though, are you?
No.
Well, when it goes out, we'll see if you're right or wrong.
Why would you keep French pornography in a jam jar?
Frog spawn.
Frog spawn.
Oh, I see.
That's rich coming from somebody whose bottom speaks German.
Right. Peter! You have the subject of lifting the lid, and 46 seconds available, starting now.
Well, it's something that you should not lift very far, and immediately put it down again, particularly if you're sitting next to Stephen Fry.
she stopped. Right, Paul.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was. He came to a full stop. So, Paul, You've got in. 35 seconds. Lifting the lid, starting now.
Edgar Allan Poe, the famous American story writer, wrote several tales concerning people... Oh.
Stephen, you judge.
A little bit of hesitation.
Yes, I wanted to get the premature burial, but I couldn't think of the way.
Yes,
right. Yeah. 27 seconds. Lifting the lid, starting now.
During the daytime, you lift the lid, and there is the whitened face, glittering. You raise the crucifix and the wooden stake, hammer it through the heart, and lo, Dracula is dead. Or is he? He always seems to come back. You lift the lid, stab him, do it again.
Maria McKernan.
Oh, sorry, no, I just don't like Stephen very much.
That's fine.
I really didn't have a chance.
He's very good at the game.
No, I thought he said lifting the lid, and of course that's the subject.
I know, it's the subject.
I nodded off momentarily.
For those who haven't already spotted it, you can repeat the subject on the card, well, within reason. So, Maria, incorrect challenge, alas. Stephen still has it. Lifting the lid, 10 seconds, starting now.
Maria has lifted the lid on a very sad thing. I thought she loved me. She told me so earlier, and I believed we had something going, some belief.
Maria has challenged.
He's okay. Suffering from delusions.
Maria, we enjoyed the challenge, and the two fellows are equal in the lead. So would it not be a very fair way, Stephen, to say, let Maria take the last 2 seconds of this subject?
No, it would be patronising.
Yeah. These modern women, you can't please them, can you?
So Maria doesn't want it. I'm sorry, they could be better.
Lucky to be in a position to choose.
She's got 3 or 4 of us up here. Right,
only 3, I fear.
And so,
I can make you jump the fence, Stephen.
I don't think I can extricate
myself. With my trick pelvis and other such wily ways.
I don't think I can extricate myself from that one, so I think we should press on with just a minute and lifting the lid, and we're finishing a sort of blaze of glory with Stephen Fry talking for 2 seconds on the subject, starting now.
Lifting on the lid, what is it about?
You did actually challenge before the whistle went.
Well, because he just went... Yes,
hesitation. Maria, you have 30 seconds on lifting the lid, starting now.
Boys never lift the lid.
Oh, what a lovely fair way to finish. With that last point that Maria McKerlain got when the whistle went, she is now equal in second place with Peter Jones, but they are 4 or 5 points behind our joint leaders, Stephen Fry and Paul Merton. So we say, Paul and Stephen, you are our winners this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to our 4 fine exponents of this difficult game, which is Paul Merton, Stephen Fry, Peter Jones and Maria McKerlain. I also thank Janice Staplehurst for the way she has helped me keep the score. I'm blowing her whistle so magnificently. Also to thank our producer and director, Chris Neal, who keeps us all in control as best he can, and also the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, and also this delightful audience here at the Radio Theatre. From them, from our players, and me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you. Tune in next time we take the air and we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
And that edition of Just a Minute was broadcast as a tribute to the late Peter Jones.